Hello and welcome, Apostolic Insiders, to the Staples household once again. I can't believe it's already the fifth Sunday of Easter. 3 points, as always. Number one, we're going to focus on the gospel this week. And I want us to notice here that Jesus, in very powerful terms, reveals his divinity. This is one of the themes of John's gospel, of course. John, we know historically, is responding to his arch nemesis, who was a man named Cerinthus. I know, Valerie, you know who he is, because I talk about him often, according to St. Irenaeus and St. Eusebius of Caesarea. Cerinthus was a former disciple of John, a Christian who left the faith and became one of the fathers of Gnosticism, and one of his gravest errors was he denied the divinity of Christ. And so John emphasizes Christ's divinity more than all the other gospels combined, and he does it in many ways, some overt and some more subtle. I mean, in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him were not made any things that were made. I mean, it gets pretty plain there. He's God. He's the creator of all things, right? He's kind of putting it right in Cerinthus' face. But throughout John's gospel, you see more subtle ways, and here we see it here. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Notice this language. No prophet ever spoke like this before, right? I'm going to prepare a place, and if I do, I will come. Notice the emphasis on I am going to do this. I'm going away. That is, he's going to die. Remember, Jesus said in John 10:18, think not that you take my life, I give it. Right? They didn't take his life. He freely chose to give it. That's why Jesus says, I go away. Right? You're not sending him away. Nobody's killing him. Nobody's taking his life in that sense. Of course, they are killing him, but only because he wills it. I freely am giving my life. So notice, I go away and I come again. Jesus will say this, and you'll see this subtly in John's gospel everywhere. Remember in John chapter 2, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And when the Jews were shocked there, it took 46 years to build this temple. You're going to rebuild it in 3 days. John 2:21 says the temple he spoke of was the temple of his body. So notice, I will raise it. I will go away. I will come again. I will raise it up. The I's here emphasizing the divinity of Christ. And in fact, he comes right out and boldly says it in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Notice, he doesn't just speak truth. He is truth. And in order to be truth, you have to be God. Why? Because truth, considered in the abstract, in and of itself, is infinite. So in order to be truth, guess what? He's God. In order to be the life, right? He doesn't receive his life from another. He is life. He's the source of all life. Once again, he is God. And so the first point we want to focus on here is Jesus is revealing himself to his disciples to be God, and that is the source of our hope. The reason why Jesus did all the miracles, everything that he did, was to bring the apostles and all of us to faith in his divinity, because that's the source of our hope. Because if he is not God, then everything is a sham. But he is God. That's the foundation of our hope. That's our first point. But let's go to the second point, because notice Jesus takes it up a notch, because now he reveals one of the great mysteries of our faith when he says in verse 10, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And in verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Folks, this is one, as I said, of the great mysteries of our faith. We call it the circumincessions of the persons of the Blessed Trinity. What does that mean? What that means is that each of the three persons of the Blessed Trinity are absolutely and infinitely in one another. They interpenetrate one another. And why is that? Because they are the one God, right? There is no parts, or there are no parts when we speak of God. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are not three parts of God. They are the one God. And so notice, he's revealing this great mystery. Know ye not, I am in the Father is in me. And then in verse 11, he says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But then notice what he says, or else believe for the work's sake. Interesting. Two times in John's gospel does he do that. And both times it's in the context of him revealing a great mystery. Remember the other one was in John chapter 10, verse 30, when Jesus says, I and the Father are one. And he knows they can't believe him. I and the Father are one. He's basically revealing that he's God. And no doubt their brains were being stretched, right? But what does he do in verse 17? He says, if you can't believe my words, believe for the work's sake. This becomes very important, folks. He says, if you can't believe, I know this is blowing your mind that I'm God, but believe for the work's sake. In other words, have you seen anybody else raise the dead lately?
Yeah, no.
Have you seen anybody else walk on water? Which, by the way, no one ever had in the history of the world. No one. Jesus was the first. He's the one who empowered Peter to be able to do it, right? But Jesus was the first person in human history. Well, there is in Greek mythology, Orion, the god who walks on water. But, of course, that's God mythology. Mm-hmm. Yes, Catherine?
But didn't another saint walk on water, too?
Yes, but that's by the power of Jesus. Right? Jesus was the first to walk on water. Yes, then he empowered Peter to be able to do it. That's for another day. All right, but here's the key. Here in John 14, verses 10 and 11, he's revealing another mystery, that is the circumcisions of the persons of the Blessed Trinity. And in that same context, what does he say? Believe for the sake of the works. If you can't believe my words, believe for the sake of the works. In other words, you can believe me. This is, remember, the essence of the spiritual life. Fides quaerens intellectum in Latin, which means faith seeking understanding, or as St. Anselm said, credo ut intelligam. I believe in order that I might understand. Everything begins with faith. And so Jesus says, look, if you can't believe, believe for the sake of the works. Trust me, he says, right? And this leads to our third point, which is in verse 12. Notice he moves from this to saying, if you believe in me, the works that I do, you will do, and even greater works than these. Wow. So what in the world, how can you do greater works than Jesus? Jesus saved souls. Jesus raised the dead. How can you? Well, Jesus is not talking about greater qualitatively, but he's talking about greater quantitatively. And why is that? That means numbers wise, not anything essentially greater, but quantitatively. Why? Because we're the body of Christ. Jesus never went more than 200 miles from his home. Did you know that, guys? His whole life, he never traveled more than 200 miles from his home. But now, in his body spread throughout the world, Jesus is all over the world. We've had saints raising the dead for 2,000 years. There's a great book by Tan Books called Saints Who Have Raised the Dead. And it chronicles almost 400 cases of saints raising the dead over the last 2,000 years, documented, many of them very well documented, miracles. But here's my final point. Here's my final thought. Greater works than these will you do. Now think about this. Believe for the sake of the works. Why are these connected? I'm going to tell you why. I think we as Catholic Christians need to understand that God wants to do more miracles through us than we can imagine. We don't let him because we don't believe. I believe God wants to heal. He wants to use you, Catherine. He wants to use you, Rose. He wants to use you, Luke, to perform miracles. But guess what? He's not going to do it if we don't believe. If we don't trust him, if we don't believe and act on faith. And I'll tell you something else. When you're struggling with your faith, remember Jesus says, believe for the sake of the works. This is not just works that Jesus did, but the works that Jesus does through you become a source of unmovable faith. See, when God performs miracles through you, Catherine, that will root you in the faith. You're never going anywhere. Once you see God doing miracles through you, changing people, and I'm not just talking about healings and things like that, though that is certainly true, but changing people's lives. It can be the menial tasks, like we just saw in the reading from Acts chapter 6, the first seven deacons who were called by God to do the menial task. But they had the laying on of hands, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to do it. And so it doesn't matter whether it's serving tables like those deacons or whatever it is that we're called to do. God wants to do it miraculously through us. And the more we work in Christ and through Christ, the more the faith is real in our lives, and no one will ever take it away from us. God bless you.